The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to Top 5, a show where we count things down from number 5 all the way to number 1. And this is a rare one this week because I usually am not a fan of doing music-based top fives. Mm-hmm. But this week, top 5 ABBA songs. Top 5 ABBA songs. The married couples from Sweden.
You're Sweden.
Are our topic this week. Yeah, and Matthew had a
Annifrid and Benny and Bjorn and Avatar the Last Airbender.
And their names are very, very foreign to me in far as Bjorn. Pronunciation. So it's just
Bjorn is not alien.
No, Bjorn's not, and neither is Benny, and Annie isn't either, but Agnetha.
It's Agnes.
Right. Yeah. So if I just go by their first name, it's all good.
Like Bjorn is fine because, you know, Bruce Springsteen had that all-American album, Bjorn in the USA.
Yeah, and then there's Benny Andersson, son of Ander.
Right, and his band, The Jets.
Yeah. So I know what you guys are thinking. Why the heck is Rodrigo not on the show this week? And he's not on the show this week. The second question that you're asking yourself is, why the heck did you guys choose ABBA? Now, check this out. ABBA hasn't recorded any new stuff in almost 40 years, and they have a new song that's out. And if you've seen the music video for it, it is kind of freaky because they had everybody wear motion capture suits, and then they did these CGI younger versions of themselves performing in the music video. And to say that it's a little creepy looking as it goes into the uncanny valley, and there's, you know, they didn't spend a lot of money on the music video. So like hair looks very stiff and doesn't move, kind of like, you know, hair of the 70s and 80s, but it's a little freaky, but it certainly has gotten a lot of people talking about ABBA on the social medias over the last couple of weeks. And so to try to be relevant and stay with the times, we're looking at a band from 40 years ago in the 1970s, ABBA. They formed in Stockholm in 1972, Matthew. Uh-huh. They became commercial successes when in 1974, they were Sweden's first winner of the Euro Song Vision Contest with my number 5, Waterloo.
I was defeated one more.
That's all. Yeah, it was originally, obviously the Battle of Waterloo is what's being referenced in there, but it's also used as a metaphor for romantic relationships. And I think it's a very catchy song. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I like ABBA so much, is because their songs are so catchy.
Yeah.
And once
earwormy,
they are very earwormy. And so Waterloo lands at my number 5 spot. Now, the interesting thing about Waterloo is it did put ABBA up on the international stage when they were in the Eurovision Song Contest. And I don't remember if they won Eurovision that year or not. I didn't realize Eurovision was 50 years old.
But yeah, Eurovision is like an annual competition.
I know, right? But the fact that it's been going on for so long. Waterloo was named the best song out of all 50 years of Eurovision.
I think it may be 60 now. I want to say Eurovision goes back to the mid-50s.
So maybe it goes back even further. But regardless,
Waterloo did, in fact, win the 1974 Eurovision. Apparently, the first Eurovision was 56.
Wow.
According to my careful prosthesis.
Yeah. So, Waterloo, my number 5. It's a lot of fun, even though a lot of people died at Waterloo.
Stephen.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a fact. You can look it up. And it's and a lot of people died in romances. Yes, the relationships died, just like at Waterloo. Yes.
Why?
That's the metaphor.
Why are you going to be like that?
Yes. So anyway, what do you have for your number four? Five.
I am extremely susceptible to earworms.
There's so many of them. ABBA, yeah, I will argue that ABBA doesn't have a bad song.
There are songs that I would consider objectively bad, but there are not a lot of them. And my number five, though it is an earworm that at one point was in my head for approximately 2.5 years, right about the time that I turned 9, is a great song. And that song is Take a Chance on Me.
Take a Chance.
That starts with that. Yeah, with that kind of railroad chant. And then they start doing the back and forth. And you get all four voices going, tiki-taka, tiki-taka. And I'm just like, wow. You know, that's really complex. And then they get to the hook. And I can't remember if that one has that strong disco beat that their later music, the you know, that thing you had to have when you were doing disco in the 70s.
Actually, probably not. Probably number one has more of the, I mean, with my number one and their number one in the United States has really leaned into the disco more than a lot of their other stuff, even though a lot of people just automatically equate ABBA with disco.
Yeah.
But I'm not Take a Chance has all the hooks and the beats of classic disco.
The disco beat, but it definitely has kind of almost a rock vibe, the kind of something that
it definitely has a pop rock vibe. Yeah,
where you're just like, woo. But the thing that Take a Chance on Me really has is, I don't know if you've ever seen the video.
No,
Agatha and Annifrid are doing back and forth lead vocals throughout the middle of the song. And they have this beautiful just panning shot of them with the Joan Collins Vaseline on the lens, just moving around them, and their hair is gorgeous. And I'm just like, oh, they're so pretty.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really, really pretty song. I feel like it's a strong rock song. And if you're like, well, ABBA's all disco, they're stupid. Well, you're wrong.
Because I don't think I wouldn't classify it all as disco. I really wouldn't. Yeah. So we agree on that. Yeah.
Yeah. We
That's
interrupt each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I really never thought, I never took ABBA seriously. And when I was in Atlanta, the person that I was with, she was just a devout ABBA fan. And I would make fun of her for that just because it's like, oh my gosh, how ridiculous is ABBA? Right. But she had all of their albums, the original albums.
On vinyl.
On vinyl. And all the music on CD. So it was around the house at that time. And so I was...
He says around the house. He really means...
Around the house. Yeah, no. Yeah, so when I think back to ABBA, I certainly think back to that and was like, wow, I shouldn't have been making fun of someone's love of ABBA when you really start listening to their music. It's really, really good. A lot of people, when they instantly think of ABBA, one of the things that they think of is the Broadway musical Mamma Mia. That being my number four song in this list.
Ooh.
And I like, again, it's very catchy. It's very nice. It was, it's the opening act of their third album, self-titled ABBA, that came out in 75, right?
I just have these flashbacks of working in radio.
Yeah. It was, it is just a fun song. And I understand that it feels like we're repeating the same thing again and again and again, both in the song and through the life of the characters that they're playing. And of course, if you've seen the Broadway play, and I saw it when my wife and I went on our honeymoon to Vegas, we actually got tickets to the Mamma Mia show there. And so we really got into ABBA at that time. I know, right? We also went and saw Blue Man Group. So, you know, but it was something that at the time I was really starting to become a big ABBA fan. And so being able to go and see Mamma Mia, the musical, was really great, and seeing how they mixed into those songs into the course of the story. But when you think about what is going on in the Mamma Mia song itself, it kind of is very reflective, or in my mind is very reflective of the key story that happens in the musical, where someone is kind of making the same mistakes again. And here we go. I'm falling in love. I'm falling out of love, and going in that route. So Mamma Mia, my number four.
My number four is probably going to be the song that has people going, what? Not because, you know, it's weird, but, you know, I'm me. And I feel like, I don't feel like a desire to be a weirdo, hipster, deep cut guy. I just feel like there's something about my nature that makes me a weirdo, hipster, deep cut guy. And that's why when I tell you that my number four ABBA song, Hole in Your Soul, from 1977's ABBA : the album, is one of my favorites, because again, I'm, you know, Stephen and I, and you can hear it. I mean, you've heard it when we started talking about music from their third self-titled album. We used to do radio, and I was kind of a rock guy. I was a AOR guy. And Hole in Your Soul doesn't feel like your traditional, what you would say is an ABBA song, what you would say, you know, goes in the musicals. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily downbeat, but it's not a peppy, upbeat kind of song. It's very, it's rock in a Styx or ELO kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I really dig it.
You think it falls into like a, it's probably not a prog rock category.
It's prog rock adjacent. I don't think that, I think that to be prog rock, you kind of have to be on a concept album. You kind of want to, you know, you want to have,
what is it, the 2112 or whatever?
Starlight Express. Yeah. Starlight Express, you know. Kilroy was here, Mr. Roboto.
Yeah.
But yeah, this song, Hole in Your Soul, actually reminds me a little bit of a Mr. Roboto type feel, or something that has that same thing. But of course, then you get to the middle part, and one of the bridges is just the female members of ABBA singing these high, beautiful choir parts back and and you're just like, oh my God, that is so cool. You know, it's kind of like when you listen to a Journey song and you get to that point where Steve Perry sings a song that only dogs can hear and he holds the note for like 6 weeks. It's like that. You have a rock song, but they have made it an ABBA song by having them do their ABBA thing to it. And it's really, really wonderful. And I think, I don't know if they write all their own music, but I know that all of the songs that I went, hey, what's my favorite ABBA song, were written by the members of the band.
I think that's what, I think Benny and Bjorn were the ones that came up with a lot of the music. And then, Agnes and,
Agneta and Anna Fred.
And Anna Fred are the ones that kind of did a lot of the lyrical stuff.
The arrangement.
If I remember. Yeah. So, okay. So that's your number four.
That's my number four. You should check it out. It's a good song.
Interestingly, I really started to take ABBA a lot more seriously in the late 90s, early 2000s, when there were two groups that were out there that were very ABBA adjacent. The first being Bewitched, which was this group out of England. They may even be out of part of the UK. Let's just say they're UK all-girl group. And I really kind of dug their stuff. And then I found out that they did a cover to one of ABBA's songs. And then that led me to the discovery of a group that is, might as well just be ABBA clones. And that is the A-Teens. I don't know if you're familiar with the A-Teens, but it was
the D.A. Baracus and the Face Band.
Yes, that's right. The A-Teens were a group, again, another Swedish pop group. They were basically a tribute band to ABBA. And so they did covers of all the ABBA songs, of all the big ABBA songs. And one of their big ones with the 18s that made them really big was Super Trooper, my number three. And I just, I like that song a lot. You know, Super Trooper, Lights Are Gonna Find Me, just is really kind of, I don't know where they come up with the lyrics, but to me, it's just like, here's somebody out on the stage getting ready to do their big number, and they're just waiting to be the big act that will be revealed. And I just kind of dig, the, my interpretation of the Super Trooper lyrics and the song. Plus it's got a catchy beat that you can dance to. But yes, so it's the so really, even though I made fun of the person that I was with her fascination of ABBA,
right?
I became an ABBA fan through probably constant exposure to that
emotionally. But when I
when I found the younger version or the modern version of ABBA in the form of ABBA Generation, aka 18s, and then also Bewitched, and so then I kind of was like, oh, let me pay more attention to what's going on with ABBA, and then I start going through their catalog and just realizing, oh my God. They have so many good songs that I am very, very familiar with. And so, you know, it's that kind of combination and that arc of ABBA that that finds Super Trooper my number three.
Yeah. Now, one of, by the way, Super Trooper is also my number three.
Oh, there you go.
But one of the things that I really, really love in the universe is a really, honestly, terrible black comedy horror film from 1974. Brian De Palma, starring Paul Williams, also known as the short guy from Smokey and the Bandit. Mm-hmm. And it's called Phantom of the Paradise.
Yeah.
And it does not feature Super Trooper, but it does feature a lot of big blasty numbers that are like, very similar kind of a vibe. And my youthful brain absorbed these things at enough of a same time that it has, in fact, created a fiction that Super Trooper was the big final number of Phantom of the Paradise with, you know, Paul Williams and all of the things. And it's a really, really bad movie, but it's also a movie that I recommend that you just need to sit down and kind of absorb it, because it's a bad movie in the same way that people will tell you that ABBA is like this bad disco group. Those people are wrong again. Yeah. But yeah, Super Trooper is great. Because you get to the middle part and you walk around for days going, like I always do. And that part will just stick in your head. As I mentioned, very susceptible to earworms. But we were in the car the other day. My 17-year-old kid and I are in the car. And I've been listening to First Wave a lot. Because, you know,
I convinced you to listen to it because when they first started, they played some really great music, and now maybe not so much.
I think they're getting away from their new
root.
Wave
yes, exactly.
roots, but they were playing Super Trooper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, is this new wave? And I'm like, I don't know if it's new wave, but we're going to listen to it. And so we got to the end of it and kid was like, yeah, okay. I like that. That's pretty okay. And I'm like, that's the teenage equivalent of hell yeah, dad. Yeah, Let's go get some iced coffee and listen to this music more.
Turns out, as I was saying, I just think that this song is all about a giant light. Sure enough, as I look on the Wikipedia page for Super Trooper, it is about Super Trooper is a brand of stadium and concert light that is used to follow the stars around on the stage. So there you go.
Yeah. It also gave its name not only to a member of the G.I. Joe team. Super Trooper is a shield trooper in the very, very late stages. He's terrible and bad, but he's shiny and gold. It named one of Otter's favorite movies, Super Troopers, the story of the Vermont Highway Patrol. So, I mean, when you put it all together like that,
I'm sure it's not quite that, but
actually it is. Jay Chandrasekhar is a huge ABBA fan.
Oh, interesting.
Massive.
Interesting. I actually swapped out my number two so Matthew and I wouldn't have too many duplicates on our list this week.
Don't tell him that.
No, it's okay. I forget which one. We'll find out what Matthew's number two is and just realize that was also my number. I think it was my number three, but we swapped them around. But my number two is definitely one that was in the running for a long time. And then as we were double checking our list, just because I was worried that we'd all have the exact same five big hit songs. Chiquita suddenly sprang to mind, and I was just like, you know, that is actually a very catchy song. It was featured in the 1979 UNICEF charity event, music for the UNICEF concert. So it's one of their biggest hits. And again, nice, catchy, very. It's catchy. There you go. That's what I'm going to say about all their songs. Okay.
Got a hook.
It's off their Voulez-Vous album, which also Voulez-Vous, another fantastic song, that, should have been on my list, but it's totally on my also Rans. But yeah, Chiquita, there's something about that one. I need to go back and really listen to that one a lot. It's because you hear the chorus I think is probably the catchiest part when you're talking about earworm stuff, Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the part that gets you. So I'm going to have to go back and spend a little bit more time on that one, just listening to what is the story that they're telling about. And that's the other thing is a lot of their songs, when you really listen to them, are about love and love lost and finding love again. And just, we talk about this a lot on the Legion Clubhouse show, especially when we talk about the comics that were coming out from like 1972 to about 1982, that decade of comics, and how they're really leaning into that whole free love vibe. Everything is loose and fun. And I think ABBA's music also kind of reflects those times as, you know, this free love. Let's just go out and have fun. Let's not worry about things. You know, the night is for fun and for partying. And I think that then also equates ABBA to being a little bit more disco, because when we think about the 70s music, although there's so much great music in the 70s, unfortunately, a lot of people look to disco as, you know, the scourge of the 70s, when really it was just a minor part of the music that came out during that time. But, and I think then that then equates to ABBA, who is trying to be very reflective of the time period as well in their music. And I think Chiquita kind of does that.
Yeah. When you have something that really adheres to a particular zeitgeist, it generally doesn't age well.
Mm-hmm.
And once the world moves past it, the tendency is to go poo poo. Oh, that was a stupid phase that we went through. That was, you know, bell bottoms, or that was, you know, the, whatever it was, Fats Domino's jelly roll haircut. You know, you get to a point where people are just reflexively snotty about it. And it makes me mad.
Yeah. 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 So what do you have for your number two?
My number two is one of the greatest songs in the history of the universe. And I say that with absolutely no trace of irony. In the year 1980, I was 9 years old. And the thing about being 9 years old is that you can unequivocally love everything, and you haven't quite gotten that cynicism yet.
And all that of the comes things, with your surly teen years.
Right. It comes in, you know, the 11, 12, 13 years, but everything is new and awesome and cool when you're nine. And I remember hearing on the little transistor radio that I carried around on my bicycle. By the way, I grew up in an episode of Leave It to Beaver. But the little transistor radio on my bicycle, I could play The Winner Takes It All by ABBA. And The Winner Takes It All is this soaring, soaring medley with just amazing shrieky, no, I shouldn't say shrieky, amazing vocals, just incredibly wonderful, high-pitched, clear as a bell vocal work. But it's not necessarily the rock song. It's more of a, I don't think you'd even quite call it a ballad. You know, it's that 11 o'clock number. But boy, I love this song. And again, this is one that was stuck in my head forever. My sisters used to make fun of me because I would sing this song. And, you know, when I was nine, I couldn't sing as high as I can now, which is one of the stupidest things in the universe. And I don't know why it happened.
Yeah.
But I couldn't hit the high notes. And now that I can hit those high notes and just sing the crap out of the parts, I realize that I still can't sing as high as Agneta. And so I just listen and I enjoy it and I absorb it. And you're just like, oh, love lost, feelings destroyed, but also a feeling of I will surpass this. This too shall pass.
Yeah.
I will rise again. And that's kind of a universal thing.
That feels kind of like a little bit of all their songs, right? Kind of have that.
You know,
if you say Mamma Mia, here I go again. It's like, I'm falling in love again. Here comes the craziness of love.
Yes.
And then going down the flip side and then coming back the other side, and Waterloo being a metaphor for love and relationships, where you're going to have battles that you win and battles that you lose. And then of course, Chiquita the same way.
But always a sense of optimism.
Yeah. 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 Oh yeah. And I think that is just the nature of all the music that they produce. You know, I don't know of any songs that are just like super sad songs, right? That
sad
are just like,
song.
Yeah, I mean, there is,
they have sad songs, I
but
know they
don't,
do.
I don't know, but there's something about them that they just don't sound.
They're not like
sad.
Nine Inch Nails crushing on.
right. Yeah. It's not like you're listening to ironic pop song that talks about how life sucks.
Well, you know, Sweden in 1977, irony didn't exist yet.
Maybe not. I have known
postmodern ironicism really didn't come around until the Reagan era. And
Yeah, so that would be totally after this, right? And so it didn't spread to Europe until like 1983 when we exported cynicism and irony to Europe.
So Sweden probably had it in 82. But yeah, Canada is always a few behind.
Yeah. I have known personally several people from Sweden over the years. And personally, I mean, like, not just a passing acquaintance, but someone that I spend a lot of time with.
Were they named Bjorn?
No. One was named Ulrika. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, oh, now I forgot his name.
Ah, we'll call it Bjorn.
We'll call him Bjorn, I guess, or Sven.
Sven?
Yeah. But it just seems very, every Swedish person that I have known for an extended period of time are very upbeat people. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't know a lot of dour nihilist Swedes. Now, maybe Norwegians, but Swedes. I think they were Norwegians, though. I don't think that they were Swedes, were they?
I don't know.
I think they were Germans. They were Germans.
That's Peter Skarsgård, right? Isn't he Swedish?
I guess. I have no idea. I've not known Peter Skarsgård, so he may be that one exception to the rule. And if you're Swedish out there sitting there with your dour face going, we're not all happy, I apologize. I'm applying what I know about Sweden from all of my Swedish friends that I have known over the years.
And everything that I know about Sweden, I learned from Bud Light commercials.
And the Muppet Show.
And the music of ABBA, yeah.
And the Muppet Show. So here's my also-ran list, okay? Just so people know why my number one is where it is. Knowing Me, Knowing You is in there. One of Us. People Need Love. People Need Love. Ring, ring. Why don't you give me a call, right? Winner Takes It All. SOS. That's the name of the game. Voulez-Vous, I also mentioned. Does Your Mother Know, which is
solid.
Just a solid song that also has like maybe a bit of a creeper vibe to it.
It's got that little sister, don't you tell her once or twice kind of thing.
Yeah. And then Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight, which, you know, I can't really go around singing that at the top of my lungs because then I do get the weird looks. And then the other one is that I have on my also ran is Matthew's number one, but we'll get to that in a moment. My number one just happens to be ABBA's number one song in the United States. I think it's the only number one ABBA hit in the United States, although they've had number ones all around the world. And, you know, they've got something like, I forget what the total number of awards are, something like 48 hit singles, which I believe is more than Elvis. You'll have to look that up, Matthew, but I believe that ABBA has more hit singles than Elvis Presley.
I'm going to put in ABBA more hit singles than Elvis.
Yeah. My number one song, Dancing Queen. How can you not, if you want to say quintessential ABBA song, Dancing Queen does that. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it is the one where they were like, hey, let's move away from Wall of Sound type music and let's lean into this disco stuff. And so I think because in the United States, Dancing Queen was their number one hit, that everyone then associates ABBA with disco music. But Dancing Queen is just all about, let's go out, let's go have fun, let's just dance the night away. Let's not worry about anything. We don't have a care in the world. And I am so good at dancing that everyone will recognize my cool moves.
Right.
So that's
very, very much a disco sentiment. We're going to Studio 54.
Yep.
With Neve Campbell.
Yep.
According to this song number ones, ABBA has 23. Elvis has 53. Elvis is second. ABBA is 10th for number one songs. Number one albums. ABBA has 14. Elvis only has 22.
Okay. So there you go. But ABBA still, you know, for
it's top 10. You're up there with U2 and Bing Crosby and Elton John.
And considering that, you know, how many albums they have released,
right?
That's quite an accomplishment, right?
It's like 73 albums.
They have 9 studio albums.
Right.
And to have all those hits from that is a pretty big deal. But Dancing Queen, my number one.
Your number one.
My number one. I'm sure, Matthew, you also have Dancing Queen as your number one. But
I don't.
You don't, because I already kind of foreshadowed that a few minutes ago.
That's not necessarily one of my favorites. It's fine.
What?
But But it was ruined for me when I was a kid. You've probably heard this story 100 times if you're a regular Top 5 listener. Hi, Casey. But when I was a kid, I used to sit up late and watch Up All Night on Channel 41.
Oh, yeah, with that horrible guy.
Yeah, and they had a show called Dance Fever starring Denny Terrio. And Denny Terrio used to play the songs of the day. And among the songs of the day were Dancing Queen. And I think that my distaste for Denny Terrio carried over to Dancing Queen, because Dancing Queen has never really been one of my favorites. Also, they're singing about a girl who is explicitly 17.
Yeah,
which
you're
just kind of like, creepy. But no, Stephen, I remember long ago on a starry night like this, in the firelight, you were humming to yourself and softly strumming your guitar.
Yes, I was.
Could you hear the drums?
I could. I could hear them off in the distance.
Could you hear the distant drums, Steve Ando?
And you know what they were? Know what they were saying?
What were they saying?
They were saying Fernando.
They were saying Fernando. There was something in the air that night that made Fernando my number one ABBA song. And the reason why... That's 10 seconds. That's all you can do. The reason why is if anyone was born between the years of 19... I'm going to go about 64 to about 1979. If you walk up to them and say, there was something in the air that night, they will start singing the song. It's actually preloaded in the factory software of the brain that you will sing about Fernando. And more importantly, it's one of the ABBA songs that everybody agrees is good. People who are like, oh, poo-poo, that ABBA, they did that silly stage musical and their music is all camp.
Or people
are like, oh, poo-poo, we don't like the disco. This song, it just transcends that.
Yeah.
It's something, it's above and beyond, and it feels, you know, weirdly almost metaphorical. It feels like it's historical. It's like a part of a time and a place that doesn't exist anymore, and the world is food and sex and spectacle, and we're all just trapped. And if that case, it's nobody's fault. But ABBA is telling us that it's going to be okay. The sounds of the bugle calls, Stephen, the bugle calls are out there because there's no regret. If you have to do it again, you will do it again.
Yep.
Fernando is a lost love. Things went badly.
Yep.
But now, even though you're old and gray,
yep, the stars shine down on all of us.
I do it all over again. And I'm just like, that is such an upbeat thing to say. And I feel like if only one thing can I learn from pop culture, and God help me, that may be true. The fact that you shouldn't regret your decisions. You should enjoy the positive portions of what you've done. And all of a sudden, I'm talking like a Wally Walrus. That has nothing to do with ABBA, by the way. That Wally Walrus is actually a Norwegian character by a French person.
Yeah.
But nonetheless,
here's what I'm going to say. If people are poo-pooing Mamma Mia, especially the movie, just look at the cast. I mean, that was a Broadway musical first, and then they turned it into the movie. But if you look at the people they got to be in that movie, you got Amanda Seyfried or Seyfried.
Right.
She's fine. But you got,
she's like 50% eyes.
Right. You've got Meryl Streep, Pierce Brosnan, Christine Baranski, Colin Firth, Julie Walters.
Colin Firth and Colin Sackford.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is just, they got some big names. Now, granted, those names that I've read off are probably targeting a generation that might be even older than Matthew and I.
But still,
those are some big names to get into your little musical number about based on the music of a group from Sweden. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So
Stellan Skarsgård is in there, and he has a Swedish A in his name. So
that's
you know that he's all about it.
Also, Tom Hanks's wife, Rita Wilson, is in it.
Right. That guy from Preacher, the one who plays Preacher.
Yeah. And that totally one and that other guy is also in it. And that girl,
that guy
too.
With the face and the head.
Uh-huh. And I think
that Juan Pablo, the bachelor.
I think the she was in there's a girl from Wicked. I think she plays the witch in Wicked is also.
Adele Dazeem.
Nikki Davis Jones.
Maybe that's the other one. I'm thinking of Adele Dazeem.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm like looking up this movie and some of these pictures look like they were computer generated. People don't exist.
Don't get me started on.
Don't exist.
Don't get me started on computer generated actors. That conspiracy theory is just too wackadoo. So Anyway, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Top five ABBA songs. I'm sure, again, here in the United States, yes, ABBA had a lot of hit songs, and you can hear them on the disco channels on your Sirius XMs or on your 70s station. You will hear them pop up. But I'm sure in Europe, ABBA is like more regarded, more revered than possibly here in the United States. So I can't wait for our international friends to weigh in on this week's top five. And the best way that you can do it, of course, is to head over to the Major Spoilers Discord server. We rented a huge space for you guys to come in and gather and hang out.
Massive.
And there is so much room here that we could pack you in for days and we would still have more room for more fine fans. But you can come into the Major Spoilers Top 5 Discord channel and you can hang out and you can share your top 5 ABBA songs with everyone else. Talk about why you love the band. Heck, if you're someone who hates ABBA, come in and talk about why you hate the band. That's fine too. Go do that over at the Major Spoilers Discord server. Why? Because everybody loves a list.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.